Well, you already know that Tuesday is an important day for this nation, right? And I understand today is Communion Sunday, and I'm still going to preach a little bit about the election and some things about the election, because God showed me some things. We're going to put a different emphasis on it, though, and it'll tie in with communion because what is communion? Anybody know what communion is?
Remembrance,
okay. Anybody else? What does the word communion mean? It means, listen, if I'm communing with someone, I'm having fellowship with them, aren't I?
Yes.
Who are we to have fellowship with?
The Lord.
The Lord, right?
Yes.
How do I have fellowship with the Lord? Anybody know how we have fellowship with the Lord? Set yourself apart, okay. But what do you do when you set yourself apart? You pray. You fellowship. I mean, you have a conversation. Isn't that what prayer is all about? Amen. And why is it that communion, what makes communion possible? Why is it we can have that prayer with the Father? What makes it possible? Listen, there are a lot of religions that pray. But you know what most of them are doing? In fact, all others other than the Christian religion, their words are just batting the air. They're not doing anything. Who are they praying to? Are they praying to a living God? They're not, are they? They're praying to a. We can go to the grave. We can dig up the grave and we can find the bones of the one who started that religion.
Yeah.
Amen? But ours is different. We go to communion, praise God. We go to fellowship with God because we serve a living God. Oh, yes, He died.
Amen.
But on the third day, He was resurrected.
Right.
He shed His blood. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Why we can pray is because of communion.
Yes.
Because of what He did for us. We can have, because of His shed blood, we can have communion. But communion is more than just coming to a service and partaking of and remembering it here today. Communion is an ongoing thing as we pray and fellowship with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's so important and so necessary. So, prayer is important. In fact, prayer is the emphasis that we want to talk about. What have we been praying for the last few weeks? We've been praying for our nation, haven't we? We've been praying because we got a big election coming up. Anybody want change in this nation? Do we need change in this nation?
Yes.
How's it going to come about?
Through prayer.
Through prayer, isn't it? But it's interesting how God put it. Because prayer is not, some people, when it comes to prayer, all they're doing is almost like those religions. They're just batting the air with their words. Prayer is communion. It's fellowshipping with God, having a conversation. And why is that conversation important with God? Why is prayer so important? How many know that the problems of this nation are bigger than any man?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if we could find the perfect candidate to elect to this office, a president of the United States, and it is a big office. It's one that has the most power in all the world. Some might dispute that now, but it really is, as far as the natural things go. I happen to think that being a Christian and preaching the gospel is a higher office, but that's disputable by some people's means. You understand what I'm saying, though. But prayer, if we could find the perfect candidate to be president at this time, are the problems bigger than him? Are they? They are, aren't they? If a human being could solve our problems, we wouldn't have to go to God, would we? We wouldn't need God, would we? But it says over there in 2 Chronicles, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Now, last week we talked about, and I labeled it something like, voting is more than a privilege, it's a responsibility. But I'm gonna change that title just a little bit. I'm going to say prayer is more than a privilege, it is a responsibility. Prayer is a responsibility. Jesus didn't say, if you pray, I'm going to give you the privilege of praying if you want to. Do it whenever you want to. Do it whenever you feel like it. Do it when that you don't have anything else in the world to do. Go ahead and I'll give you the privilege of praying. He didn't say that, did he? He said, when you pray, and he told us how to pray. Prayer is a responsibility. And we need to take our responsibility responsibly. We need to pray. Amen. Look what it says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 again. Let's go there. And it says here, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now you'll remember the prophecy of Kenneth Copeland, and I read it last week, but I'm going to read it again and I'm going to make some comments on it. I remind you again, don't be impressed by what you see and hear on the news media concerning our election. That's what we've been talking about. Pay little to no attention to anything they say, because unless they are in tune with me, they don't know anything. They see things the way they want to see them, and they attempt to create things instead of report things. They try to create situations that will give them something to report. They care little to nothing about what you do or see or hear. But I do care what you do, what you hear, and what you see. And if you will walk with me, I will show you things to come. I will show you news before it happens. See, they don't care. The news media doesn't care, but God says, I care about what you do, what you hear, and what you see. I think of Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to my words. Let them not depart before thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health and healing to all their flesh. And then it says on down here a little further, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. God does care about what we think. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if you will walk with me, I will show you things to come, and I will show you news before it happens. The way it looks right now in the coming election, it is a very poor representation of what actually is going to be the outcome. But rest assured, I know what I am doing, saith the Lord, and what is happening in your favor. Is in your favor. And I might add, saith the Lord, listen to this, for the presidential election is not the only election that is coming. Amen. There are senator seats involved. There are governorships involved. There are things other than the just president and vice president of the United States, which in some cases are equally as important. Amen. Amen. So be in prayer. You stand with me. I'm standing with you. God's saying, you stand with me, I'll stand with you. And the way we're going to stand with God, we're going to be in prayer. We're going to have this communion. We're going to have this fellowship. We're going to have this conversation. How are we going to be able to stand with God if we never talk to Him? Amen? You stand with me, I'm standing with you, saith the Lord. And we will do this thing together. And it will be in the favor of the gospel. And it will be in favor of the kingdom of God. And it will be in favor of your prosperity. Anybody in favor of that? Now I'm going to jump a little bit here. But aha, all is well in the kingdom. All is well in the kingdom. And those that walk in faith and those that walk in love, everything is going to be all right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Some might argue that voting is a personal choice. You pray before you go into that booth. You pray and you vote God. You find out who God wants you to vote for. That's this conversation we're talking about, this fellowship. However, God calls his people to be salt and light. We talked about this last week. You are, and Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all those to see, that so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Think of what it means to be salt. Salt improves flavor and influences everything that's mixed with it. Similarly, as believers, we are called to improve the flavor of the world by helping others understand that there is a better way to live other than what the world has to offer. When we do that, we begin to season those around us. Now, we talked about that last week, but as I was thinking about this week, how do we become salty and how do we stay salty? He says you're the salt of the earth. But if we've lost our flavor, what good are we? How do we stay salty? I'm telling you how we stay salty. We have a conversation. We have communion. We have fellowship with the Father. We go to Him in prayer. Praise God. And we're back and forth. And He gives us, praise God, the salt. Praise God. He gives us the salt, praise God, that we're going to be salty with. And we're going to share this gospel and share this gospel all over the place. But if you don't have any salt to share, then you're good for nothing. If my people who will call upon my name shall humble themselves and pray, I'll make you the salt of the earth. We show them how, by being seasoned with salt, how fulfilling it is to love and honor God, and consequently, we help them experience the same fulfillment in their own lives. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be salt. Glory to God. When the scripture speaks of us being light, it refers to us being a guiding light in darkness. Think about it. The world's in darkness. The Satan is the father of darkness. He's the father of sin that created the darkness in the first place. And the world is in darkness, and they don't know it. Many don't know it. No matter what the enemy tries to pass off as good and healthy and normal, the body of Christ is called to stand as light-filled beacons, showing others the way. And here are a few things we're supposed to stand for. We're to stand for those who can't stand for themselves. Widows, orphans, and the unborn. That's a big one right there. We're to stand up for God's absolutes. Morality, biblical marriage, gender absolutes, and natural laws. There's enough right there to pray for. All of those things that I just mentioned are under attack. I don't care what president gets into office, he's going to have help to deal with all of those. It's going to take God Almighty. It's going to take someone who will allow Christians to stand up and be the salt and the light of the world. We have to have an atmosphere in which we can work. Hallelujah. That's one reason why this election is so important. That's one reason why prayer is so important. Hallelujah. And I praise God, I'm believing for a president that will not only allow us to stand up, but he'll stand up and be salt and light himself. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We are to stand for the rights of our founding fathers and military personnel made possible. Protection for the individual, protection against tyranny, protection against intellectual elitism, and protection against socialism. Every vote must stand for the things of God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles again. I want you to see something here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says here, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." Now, verse 15, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place." Do you see that? As we turn, praise God. And he didn't say the world has to turn. He didn't say the United States has to turn. He said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. What does God consider wicked? Well, I just thought of something. What does God consider wicked? What's he asking us to do? Pray. If we don't pray, are we being obedient to God? If we're not being obedient to God, is that wickedness? In a sense. So is prayer important? So we need to turn from not praying to a nation that is praying. We need to turn from a church that has not been praying to a church that is praying and praying for our country, for our officials.
Yes.
Praise God. And then he said, verse 15 there, said, praise the Lord. It said, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place." Because we've repented of not doing what we should have been doing. Notice that this scripture doesn't promise that God will heal our land when every citizen gets saved. Been thinking about that. Boy, and we're believing for 30 souls to come into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see it. But then we read the missionary accounts and what they're doing and then big numbers that they have. You know, in this country, we've gotten so far away from God. Our hearts have been so hardened that even believers are not in doubt in many cases. Not believing God because they've not been communing with God the Father. And many believers, there's a great apathy in the church today because we haven't been fellowshipping, haven't been communing with the Father. And so when we think about 30 souls, that's nothing. That's nothing to God, is it? Is it possible? It's possible with God. But listen, it's beyond us, isn't it? Without his help. So that's another reason why we need to pray in fellowship with the Father. We need to be praying constantly, every day. Lord, we're praying for this nation. But Lord, we're praying for the nation. We're praying for the hearts of the people that's coming to you, Father. And show me the ones you want me to witness to. Show me the ones you want me to go to. And be faithful to go. Because you've been fellowshipping with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So not everyone gets saved. That's an inspiring prayer, but it's not the key to God moving on behalf of the nation. Everyone straightens up and acts right. Well, is that going to happen? Not likely, is it? He didn't say everyone had to. But one thing I do know, you and I need to. Because we are the salt and we're the light of the earth. And we need to have that communion. We need to have that fellowship with him. Yes. Amen. We know that without Jesus in our lives, making godly decisions is impossible. And if we can get the perfect person elected, well, we won't have any more problems in this earth, in this country. Well, if we vote Jesus in, is that going to do the job? He's the perfect person. The problem is, he's not one of the candidates. But is he concerned? Yes, he is. And he'll work with us because he said, "I'll heal your land if you'll turn from your wicked ways and pray." Mm-hmm. See, why am I saying this? We got an election coming up on Tuesday. I got a question for you. What's going to happen on Wednesday? Do we quit praying? The election's over?
No.
I'm telling you, our responsibility is just beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We have to continue to pray, continue to fellowship, and commune with the Father.
That's right.
If we want things to be the way we don't just turn and for this thing coming up Tuesday, this election. No, when we turn, we're walking another way. We make a life change. We make a commitment to pray. That's what God is calling His people to make that commitment to pray on a daily basis. My people will humble themselves and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. And didn't say, seek my face when you're in trouble. He said, seek my face, and I'll show you things to come. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you're not seeking Him, if you're not fellowshiping, He can't show you things to come. Amen? So I'm looking at this election, and it is important. But out of this election, it's waking up the body of Christ to take their place, to repent and pray. Because Wednesday's coming, and we need to pray. Yeah. Amen? No, this verse lays out the responsibility for a nation's healing squarely on the shoulders of the believers. We are called to humble ourselves and admit that only God has the answer. We need we need Him to help us with the issues our nation faces, including political discord, educational shortcomings, international incidents, and civil unrest, racial tensions, and more. God promises that our prayers will make the difference. I just gave you a promise from heaven, and I'll make you shout. He said, He promises that our prayers will make the difference in our nation.
Yes.
If you really believe that, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. Amen? Yes. We're called to pray. And God has been calling our church. I've noticed we come in here for services. We're praying more and more and more and more. Because that's where we need to be. We need that fellowship because we need to make the difference.
Yes.
And God says if we'll pray, it'll make the difference. Hallelujah. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Let me show you one of the things why we pray. I'm going to read you just that word prayer, pray. I'm going to read you what the Greek says about pray. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek, the Hebrew word for prayer. But it says in the Strong's, to pray, entreat, intercede, make supplication. This verb occurs more than 80 times in the Old Testament. It speaks of prayer as intercession, asking someone with more power and wisdom to intervene in behalf of the one doing the praying. If we could do it in ourselves, we wouldn't need God. But we're to go to Him. And does He have more power?
Oh, yeah.
He does, doesn't He? He has more power. More power and does He have more wisdom?
Oh, yeah.
Do we need His wisdom?
Yeah.
The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We need His wisdom. That's why we pray.
Yes. He is the power. He is the wisdom.
He is the power and He is the wisdom. And that's why we pray, because we want His wisdom and we want His power.
Amen.
And you're not going to get it any other way. Hallelujah.
Right.
For example, Hannah prayed for a son. Amen. She was barren. She couldn't do it in herself. She needed His wisdom and she needed His power. Hezekiah prayed for an extension of his life. And he got 15 years because he turned around and prayed to God. Had fellowship with God and God extended his life.
That's right.
How many, if we'll pray for them, will God extend their lives so they can find Him?
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
And we got to look at it that way. We've got a nation that needs to hear about Jesus. We got a nation that needs to hear that God loves them. Because many of them are thinking, I'm just too bad for God. God won't do anything for me. I'm too wicked. God can't forgive me all those things. That's why we pray. That's why we got to go and have this communion, this fellowship. Because there are those that need to hear that and need to turn and need to see the truth that God's already forgiven them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hezekiah prayed for an extension. And Jonah prayed from within the fish's belly. And furthermore, it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray. That's where that word is found, right there. If my people, so if my people, listen, Jonah prayed, Hezekiah prayed, and Hannah prayed, but you and I can pray.
Amen.
They got results. Can we get results?
Yes.
Amen, I believe so. Hallelujah. But you know what we got to do to get results? We got to pray. If we don't pray, no results. Let me say that again. I don't think some of you heard me. If we pray, we get results. If we don't pray, we don't get results. Do we need to pray?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need the results, don't we? Hallelujah. Then it says, if my people who are called by my name, and I want to go back to what I read that, because that's the key to this whole passage in there. I showed you last week, but I want to go back to it. Give me a minute here. I'm going to make a comparison. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. My people who are called by my name. Let's look at that word, who are called by my name. That's the key to it. This is what the New King James says. The Lord, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, 9 and 10. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Is your prayer making people afraid of you? I don't mean when it says afraid, they know there's something different about you. They know there's something special about you. Something that sets you apart. They look at you in awe. Are your prayers doing that? Are people looking at you and say, hey, they've got something that I need? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. The Amplified says this, the Lord will establish you as a people holy and set apart to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk. That is, live your life each and every day in his ways. We're talking about prayer. How do we pray? Living our life each and every day in his ways. So that all the people of the earth will see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you.
They'll be afraid of you. They know that there's something different from you, and sometimes they're afraid of you. But listen, when you're afraid of somebody, you're going to watch them, aren't you? Okay, I'll use that example. Carol's got a big dog over there. And if you didn't know him, you might be afraid of him. And if you're afraid of a dog like that, what are you going to do? You're going to watch him. Mm-hmm. When people see that God is with you, they don't understand it. They're afraid because they don't understand God. But they see that you're different. That's what makes them afraid. But what are they doing? They're watching you. They're watching you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. The NLT says, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as a holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Now, Good News Translation says this. If you obey the Lord your God and do everything he commands, he will make you his own people.
Hallelujah.
He'll make you his own people. Praise God. If you obey my commands. If we have fellowship with him, he'll make us his own people. Anybody here want to be the people of God?
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
He will make you His own people as He has promised. Then all the peoples on earth will see that the Lord has chosen you to be His own people, and they will be afraid of you. Anybody want to pray?
Yeah.
We're chosen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. My people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive and hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place. I want to close by reading prayer. And you've got a copy of this. Kenneth E. Hagin prayed January 31 of 1983. I gave you a copy earlier, but God took me back to this, and I just want you to see how relevant this is to us today. You follow me and let's agree. He says, Heavenly Father, we come again today. We come in the name of Jesus. Not our name, not our power, not our holiness, not even our goodness. But we come in the name of Jesus, washed in His blood, robed in His righteousness. We come because You told us to come. You said in Your holy word for us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Thank You, Father. We are exhorted in Your word to pray, to intercede, to supplicate, and to give thanks for all who are in authority, that Christians, that believers everywhere may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for our leaders, our president, every member of Congress, the Supreme Court, the President's Cabinet, everyone that's in authority, that divine wisdom and grace will be given unto them, and direction will be given unto them. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would try to dominate and rule in our own nation. See, I'm giving you things you can pray about on Wednesday as well as before. Amen. We rise up against the darkness. We rise up against those spirits and dispel the darkness. In the name of Jesus, we command the devil to take his hands off of the political scene of our nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many of us have been praying that? To take his hands off the political scene. Politics won't solve anything, but Jesus will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pray for every politician, everyone that's in office, that they'll not be so concerned about politics, that they'll not be so party conscious, but that they'll be concerned about our nation as a whole, and above all, put God first. Listen, our prayers can change things. I believe, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to give you what I believe. You watch. This election is going to change things. God said the outcome's going to make you happy. It's going to be in your favor. And if that's to be the case, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a mass exit from Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. There are those that are up there that know, well, we can't run the place anymore. We can't have our way anymore. The Christians are now in control. They may not say it exactly that way, but that's the truth. So they're going to leave because there's nothing there for them anymore. They can't make their millions anymore with their corruption. Because when God replaces them, He's going to replace them with godly people. Amen. I believe God is setting in place motion, men and women to come into to office. And Christians are not going to be afraid anymore to run for office. We're going to see Christians in office in high places in Washington, D.C. And it's going to change our nation.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come against the powers of darkness, the force of evil, the demons of hell that would endeavor to dominate the financial scene of our nation. Has that been in the news lately? Have we needed some changes there?
Yes.
Well, praise God, we come against those powers. We pray for the economy of our nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray about the unemployed. We pray that the economy will be turned around and that we will be prosperous as a whole, as a nation, to continue to carry the gospel around the world. We command the devil and all of his cohorts, take your hand off of the financial scene of our nation. He prayed this in 1983. Could it have been prayed in 2016? Yes, it could have. That says to me, between 2003 and 2016, we Christians haven't been doing our job. I'm just putting out what he says. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would endeavor to dominate the domestic scene of our nation. We command you, Satan, and all of your cohorts, take your hands off the domestic scene of our nation. May there be peace. May there be tranquility. May there be understanding from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border. We sweep the air clean from demons, demon powers of evil that would hinder, that would dominate in the name of Jesus. Do we have authority over demons?
Yes.
If we've been fellowshipping in communion with him, we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come against all forces that are wrong. And Father, we pray with our understanding as best we know how. We're instructed to do so. Yet we sense in our spirit that our spirits have not prayed as they would like. We remember that Paul said that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. So the great mighty Spirit of God dwells in us. He is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is our standby. He will help us.
Hallelujah.
We trust him to help us to pray in this area and about our nation and the leaders and all that are in authority. Help us to pray as we ought to pray and about things that we don't even know to pray concerning the coming election. We take authority over every stronghold that would endeavor to hinder the process of the right person being elected to lead our country. We boldly proclaim that your will shall be accomplished. He will give us utterance and we will pray and intercede and give thanks in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just submit to you today as we close, and I'm going to end there because we're going to partake of communion. I submit to you that our job is just now beginning. We're believers. We've been praying. But the volume control, if you speak, on prayer has just been turned up. God's ear is waiting for our prayers. He's waiting for our prayers for our nations. He's waiting because he had Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that we could escape all the sin and all of the evil and become one with him. And by becoming one with him, his ears are open to our prayers and we can change this nation. It's just beginning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Beth, will you come to the piano, please? Well, next week we'll go to something different. Praise God. But between now and next week, you got a job to do. And we'll share from time to time what God is saying along some of these lines. But God has called his people to prayer. God has called this church to pray. In fact, there have been those that have said from the outside, have said the thing that we're lacking is prayer. And we're going about to change that. Amen. But you know what? One person can't do all the praying for this church. Hear me? One person can't do all the praying. It takes all of us. Mm-hmm. Praying. Coming together and encouraging one another. Praise God. Amen. So, it's not if you pray. It's not a privilege to pray. It's our responsibility to pray. And we don't take it lightly. Go ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Darcy, can you and Dottie come and serve us communion, please? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As you receive those elements, just go before Him. Begin to seek Him. It's a quiet time. It's a time for you to have fellowship, communion with Him. To have a conversation with Him. Ask Him to begin to show you the things that you need to do. And ask Him how He would have you begin to pray for our country and our nation. And those things that He has you to pray about. Thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him for the blood that makes it all possible. Thank Him for the fact that by His stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. For as I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, we thank You, Father, for the body of Christ that was broken for us, for the stripes of Jesus. We thank You, Father. We thank You for healing, Father God. We praise You for it. We thank You for it. We thank You for it, Father. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He come. Let us partake together. And I remind you, as we're proclaiming the Lord's death, we're also proclaiming His resurrection. That's what gives Him the power. Praise God. And that's why we come and we fellowship with Him, because He's got the power and He's got the wisdom that we need. Hallelujah. Because He was willing to go to that cross and die for you and me, so that we could go to others and say, "There's one who shed His blood and was put on a cross for you, so that you can walk free of your sins and you can be healed today." Let's stand and let's worship Him today. And let's honor Him. Hallelujah. We worship Him. We remember Him. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. We honor You. We thank You.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Father. Father, we thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, Father, I thank You, Lord God. We stand before You as Your people. Father, we're called by Your name. We stand before You, Father, a people that's repented, Father God, and turned. And as we turn, Father God, and we're turning towards You and we're praying, Father, we're asking You, Father God, we're thanking You, Father God, to heal this land, to heal this nation, Father. But Father, we realize, Father God, as we've turned towards you, Father, is a commitment, Father God, that we can't turn from. We must keep on going forward with our eyes on you, Father. We're thanking you in advance, Father God, for what you're about to do for this nation. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for the whole world. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your wisdom, Father God. We're calling upon that power and that wisdom right now. In our hour of need, Father. In the hour, Father God, where we stand before you and our nation needs you now more than ever. Father, we're thanking you for the power and the blood. We're thanking you for the power, Father God. We're thanking you for the fact that, Father, we can come in fellowship and commune with you. You've called us to be a people of prayer, Father God, to fellowship with you, Father. You've called us your very own people, Father God. You've set us apart. And, Father God, as we begin to understand what that means, and we begin to fellowship with you and pray with you, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you're causing us to be set apart so that others look at us and they look at us in awe. They don't understand. They're in fear, but they're looking at us because they see in us, Father God, that you're with us, that you are our God, you are the mighty one, and that we have rights and privileges in your presence, Father God. And they see that they need what we have. Oh, my Father, as we commune with you today and we partake of this, we thank you for your blood. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to take your words and the anointing of your words, and to take it to heart, Father God, so that when we walk out into that world and we have to go to work on Monday, Father, and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day of the week, that we'll not forget, Father God, our responsibility. We'll not forget what you've called us to do. We'll not forget that you've called us to repentance and to turn. And help us, Father God, to do our part. And we're thanking you in advance because we will see this nation turned. Yes. To you. And it will be great again. It'll be great because you're again on the throne where this nation is concerned.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And our leaders look to you. Because, Father, this nation needs help that's beyond what any man can do. And it's because of you that we'll become out victorious. I'm reminded of what you said in your word. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. We worship you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Amen. Pastor Carol.
Thank you, Lord, as we go forth, Father, that we are ones that are turned to you, Lord, and we are praying for this country. We're praying, Lord, because we love the fellowship and communion with you. We love the communion with you, and may our lives be turned more and more towards you, Lord. May we be more and more fellowship and communion with you, Father, in Jesus' name. And as we do, Lord, we thank you that lives will be changed, nations will be changed, the world will be changed through the power in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.